October 23rd, Kartik 09, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class. This is verse 294, where Rupa Goswami begins to explain about Raghunuga Bhakti, actually how to practice it. Krishna Smaran Janas Chasya Preshtam Nija Nija Samihitam Tatat Kata Ratas Chaso Kurya Dvasam Vrajay Sada. He says that one who wants to tread the path of Raghunuga Bhakti should always live in Braj by constantly remembering one's most beloved Krishna and the dearest associates of Krishna in Braj, and following the bhavas of the one devotee that a person has an intense craving for the service of. So he's telling, remember Krishna Smaranjana, live in Vrindavan, live in Braj. Remember the Vrindavan form of Krishna and his dear associates whose service he desires. Should absorb himself in hearing about them and always live in Braj. This is not so easy for everyone in the world to live in Braj. It requires a lot of sukriti, first of all, and some type of economic arrangement or special mercy of the Lord. So in these three shlokas, this is the methodological order of Raghunuga Bhakti. It says Preshta. Vishnu Chakravarti takes this word in the verse Preshta. Krishna Smaran Janachasya Preshtam. Preshta means dearest, means one's dearest object of attainment. Means Krishna Vrindavan, Nanda Nandan. He is the person we want to attain. And the dearest one of Krishna. Krishna's Preshta means the dearest object of our attainment, whom we want to attain. We want to attain Krishna and Vrindavan. And means the dearest devotee of Krishna, Krishna Preshta. And that is Radharani. And Madhurya Rati, and also Nandini Yashoda and Vatsalya. It's interesting, in the Pranam prayer that was written by a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and was also later adapted to Srila Prabhupada, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. This prayer was written in 1934 by one sannyasi disciple of Bhakti Santa Saraswati. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamani. And then it was adapted to our Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta. And then they added Namaste, that's specifically to Prabhupada, about Western countries and Paschatya Deshatarane. But Bhakti Sananta and Bhaktivedanta, they are Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya. They are situated at the feet of Vishnu and they're the dearest beloveds of Krishna. So this prayer is a prayer to Guru, but a prayer to Guru as being a resident of Vrindavan, and a prayer to Guru being a servant of that dearest one of Krishna who is situated at his feet. The dearest devotee of Krishna, Madhurya Ras, who is situated at his feet, is none other than Srimati Radhika. When we offer this pranam prayer to Prabhupada, we are basically indicating his connection with the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namani. So Rupa Goswami is saying this is the first thing, is that we pick a place to do our bhajan, that should be in Braj. And we pick someone to emulate or follow, and that should be an eternal resident of Vrindavan who is a very dear devotee of the Lord. There, generally in Gaudiya Sampradaya, we follow Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. They've given us plenty of books, enough books. They've written, both of them have written enough about themselves. They've written about themselves, about their own sarup, what they look like. And they've written about how they feel, and they've written about what they do, what is their services. So it's not very difficult, it's a very patent program to remember them or to think about them. Oh, you want to remember me here? Here's a book, How to Remember Swamiji. It's very easy. So How to Remember Rupa Manjari. Well, read Stavamala, and in Stavamala you'll find all these different prayers which indicate the services Rupa Manjari does, the feelings she has while serving Radharani, and the feelings she has towards Krishna. And then you read books by Raghunath Das Goswami, Stavavali, And in Stavavali you find prayers like Vilapkusamanjali and so many other ones. So that's it. This verse has some notes. This is 294. These are the basic verses. 294, 295, and 296. These are, if you want to know the verses, there's three verses, the sum and substance of how to practice Raghunuga Bhakti, as explained in three verses. This is the first division, chapter 2, the Sadhana Bhakti chapter. You can trace out these verses in Prabhupada's English Nectar Devotion also. The numbers, once you know the translation, then you can indicate the numbers in the margin of the book, which we've done. Nectar Devotion, 295 and 96 and 97. These are the three verses that explain how to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. Basically, any pursuit or any practice that we engage in, we will have to answer these three questions, or these five, six questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Where is Brajadam, and what is to, and who is the Preshta, the Krishna Preshta, to follow Radharani and her servants. If we're interested in becoming a maidservant of Radharani, then we follow Radharani and her maidservants. And this is text, on this note here I have on this, verse 294. So now, of course, the preliminary to begin Raghunuga Bhakti, which he explained the other day, we discussed, is greed. Assuming we now have genuine spiritual greed, what is the process to follow Raghunuga Bhakti? So he says here, Krishna Smaran. That's why many acharyas, they comment and say that Vaidhi sadhana is based on hearing and chanting. That's the primary limbs, Shravana Dasha. And then Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is based on Smaran. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So we don't want Vishnu Smaran, it says Krishna Smaranam. Krishnam Smaran, Jana Chasya Preshtam. Remember Krishna, what Krishna? Krishna Vrindavan, and remember Krishna's dearmost devotees. So this is the process, Krishna Smaran. Always remember Krishna and his devotees who have the same mood that I want. There's three things we have to do. Remember Krishna and those eternal associates that are expert in devotional service, like Rupa Manjari or Raghunath or Rati Manjari. And we should hear and talk about Brajabhav. And three, we should live in Braj. It's difficult for most people. And Jiva Goswami's and his commentary, he's saying here that he says if you can't live physically in the mind in Vrindavan, we should mentally we should think. It's very interesting how this mental process is working. Mentally we should think, you are living in Vrindavan. Whatever you want to achieve most, you should think you're already there. You may live in New Delhi or in Bombay or Moscow or anywhere, but you should think, I'm living in Braj. You should assume in your mind that you're already living in the spiritual world with Krishna and his associates. From the spiritual point of view, Krishna, God, the spiritual world in Vrindavan is unlimited. It's everywhere. Generally, if you ask someone, where is heaven or where is God? Yeah, they usually go like this. He's up there. And they point up like this. Or they say, where is Swarga? They say, up there. Or where is hell? And then people go down there. Usually they say, you go down to hell and you go up to heaven. But in a more accurate depiction, because the universe is not linear, it's in all directions. Space is everywhere, not just up and down, it's everywhere. So everywhere is Vrindavan. The consciousness, the abode, the presence of Radha and Krishna, they can be and they are everywhere and anywhere. Where is Vrindavan? It's there, it's there, it's there, it's there, it's here, it's inside, it's outside, it's everywhere. So mentally living in Vrindavan means that. Means to actually feel, this is not New Delhi. What is Lord Chaitanya showing when he was in Jagannath Puri? He was in Jagannath Puri, it's a seaside resort on the east coast of India, the Bay of Bengal, and mostly sand everywhere and some lakes here and there in Jagannath Vallabha Garden, and trees, and everywhere he looked, he said, I'm in Vrindavan, this is Vrindavan. He saw a little grove of trees, and he said, oh, this is Nidiban, this is Sevakunj. We know, we have some friends, and they live in Delhi, and near a park, one park called Deer Park. And they said, oh, every morning we go to Deer Park. So I went there one time with them. There are many deer there, animals, deer. And they showed me that place. We chanted over there. I said, you should just call this Priyavan. You should call this is Priyavan. This is Priyavan. This is Radharani's Deer Forest. And you should see this small body of water. This is Radhakund, and this is Shyamakund. Like this, and you should see like that. When Prabhupada went in West Virginia in America, he went to a place called, at that time it was 50 acres, 1968. And he started a community there called New Vrindavan Community, farm community of devotees, mostly from New York. And Prabhupada visited there, and he walked around, and he said, oh yes, this is Govardhan Hill. And they thought it was simply part of the Appalachian mountain chain. Appalachian mountain chain. He said, this is Govardhan Hill. Like you live in Switzerland. So you don't say this is the Alps. You say, oh, this is Govardhan Parvat. This is Giriraj. This is the idea. So Prabhupada, he introduced that idea of seeing Vrindavan everywhere. And even named it. He said, this is Govardhan Hill. Then there was some lake, and he said, this is Radhakund, this is Shyamakund. And he told the devotees, there's no need to go to Vrindavan. You have every year. And in fact, the New Vrindavan devotees hardly ever came to Vrindavan in India. And they would have a yearly festival, Janmashtami. And devotees from all around India would go there and visit. Of course, the ISKCON's annual festival was in the India, but that didn't start until 1974, going to Vrindavan, to Mayapur, then to Vrindavan. So from 68 to 74, the annual festival was in Janmashtami time in New Vrindavan. And even after that, the devotees of New Vrindavan, they would never come. They say, Prabhupada, we're in Vrindavan. We have Radhakund here, Shyamakund, this is Govardhan. And he said, this is Talavan. He called one forest Talavan, and one forest is called Bahulavan. There's Bahulavan, Talavan, all the vans are there. And he told to make the seven temples of the Goswamis, he should put on the different hills there. He said, you should put Govindaji here, Gopinath here, Madan Mohan here, Shyamasundar, Damodar, etc. He said, it's so costly, so difficult. The devotees can just come here. This is Vrindavan, New Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami wrote a play called Alita Madhav. And Alita Madhav, he describes how Vishwakarma made, on the order of Suryadev, he made this whole New Vrindavan so that Satyabhama, who was under the care of Suryadev, was actually Radharani. She could have a place to live outside Vrindavan because she's actually Radharani. So then Vishwakarma made this whole Nava Vrindavan. That's a whole long story. So there it is in Gujarat, Nava Vrindavan. So it's the mentality, because we are what our mind is. If our mind is hell, we're in hell. If our mind is sanctified and purified, then we're with Krishna. Assume in your mind you're already living in the spiritual world with Krishna as associates. From the spiritual viewpoint, Krishna is everywhere. Of course, we must be qualified to perceive Krishna. For example, an analogy. And there's a TV. It broadcasts its programs in every direction through the sky. But without a television, you can't receive it or see it. So, of course, these television stations, cable, and so many hundreds of stations in India now, they're broadcasting their programs. They're flying through the sky, through the ethers. Do we see it? Do we see TV with our eyes? I don't think so. Maybe. Well, we can't see any programs. We can't have live darshan. We can't just open our eyes and see darshan of Radhasham Sundar Mangalartik when we're in Moscow. What if we go on the computer and by some electronic arrangement we can have darshan? So he said the same way, unless we have a receiver, if we have a proper television receiver, then we can receive those messages, that program of the television, and see it in our house. So this is the analogy, that Krishna's program, his Astakalya program, is being broadcast eternally. Krishna's eternally, it's called Krishna TV, the Krishna show. He's constantly broadcasting his spiritual program. It's called Astakalya Leela. It's going on and on and on in a circular fashion, one after the other. And when we have the proper receiver, and the proper receiver is Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana, when the heart becomes pure, then it becomes a proper receiver to receive all these beautiful broadcasts and programs. We all have the TV within our hearts and minds, but it's not tuned properly. TV is broken. We can't perceive Krishna. If we tune our hearts and our consciousness properly, then we will be living in Vrindavan. So it's all a matter of fine-tuning. People may be physically living or sitting in Vrindavan, but they're not in tune. They're not tuned in. They just have Maya's channel. Maya's channel is playing in their mind or playing in their heart. It's not Krishna's program. Somehow it's not coming in, even though we may be living here. So this is a nice analogy. So the essential feature of Raghunuga Bhakti is smaran, remembering. And that's why you can see the progression. Vaidhi sadhana is based on shravanam kirtanam. This is the basic activities, and we should do that incessantly till we come to the platform of Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari, Chinarapis Nichana, we become so humble and become so tolerant and so prideless and respectful of others that the Holy Name chooses to live with us. And then we come to the platform of Nishtha. There's purity there, there's conviction there, there's philosophical understanding, relationship with Krishna has awakened. One has become very determined to serve Krishna, even no matter what the situation is. And some ruchi abhas, some genuine taste for Krishna, the person, is coming into the heart of the sadhaka at the level of nishtha. This is, then from there, this is Raghunuga sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana. Then one graduates to practice Raghunuga sadhana at this level of nishtha by continual chanting sadahari, Kirtaniya Sadahari. By continually chanting of the holy name, the ego has become sufficiently purified. The identity of as being, realizing and accepting with full conviction that I am Krishna's servant. And the mind has become sufficiently purified at this stage of nishtha, nishtita bhakti, that we can actually think of Krishna. Naam Rup Gun Lila Smaran. So Smaran begins at nishtha. And then there's five levels of Smaran. And the last level of smaran is samadhi, which is prema. Anishta, then there's ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. So at each level, after nishta, one will enter a deeper and deeper level of smaran. So Raghunuga Bhakti will begin at nishta and go to ruchi, asakti, then bhava, then it's bhava bhakti. And then the smaran becomes deeper and deeper. So this is the beginning of Raghunuga sadhana, smaran, remembering Krishna. It's the essential feature, remembrance. Because your personality becomes absorbed in anything you remember constantly. So our particular sabhav, our personality, whatever we're remembering, then that, if we're remembering Krishna, remembering Krishna's servants, then our personality starts to take the shape around what we're remembering or whom we're remembering. If we become attached to something, you'll remember that. If your attachment is to Krishna, you will remember Krishna. Whatever is performed in bhakti is also in a stage of practice, is also experienced in a stage of perfection. This is from Narottam Das. At the stage of perfection, a devotee remembers Krishna naturally. But in a sadhana stage, a practicing stage, we have to make an endeavor to remember Krishna. In the perfect stage, a devotee lives directly with Krishna in Vrindavan. But the practicing stage, we're trying to live in Vrindavan within our minds. And if possible, physically too. The most important thing is the position of the mind, not the position of the body. If we sincerely desire within our minds to live in Vrindavan, ultimately we will live in Vrindavan. Physically too, though we may have to overcome many obstacles and impediments. It's not very difficult to physically live in Vrindavan and may be the byproduct of Purva sanskaras that can bring one's body, bring us in our body to the physical Vrindavan. We see there are hundreds of Western people living in Vrindavan, Western-born people living in Vrindavan, on various types of visas or passports or no passports or whatever, and they're living here, But now, that's a physical Vrindavan, at least the tangible Vrindavan, although it's metaphysical and transcendental. But what's much more difficult is to live in the mental Vrindavan, to enter our minds into Vrindavan. So we have to overcome a lot of obstacles and impediments to even live in the physical Vrindavan. Everyone knows about that. The people and the environment, the animals, the people, the government, the atmosphere, the climate, then the finances and the food and the accommodations and the digestion and the sicknesses. Many, many physical problems to live physically in Vrindavan. We have to overcome those and tolerate those, and after a while we become kind of a veteran of living in Vrindavan. We somehow can master, by the mercy of Krishna, we can balance all the elements and carry on physically in Vrindavan. Now the real battle begins. The real battle is to overcome the mental obstacles and impediments which prevent us from remembering Krishna. This is the real struggle. This is the most difficult part. The envy of others, the pride, the attachments that we have to thinking of mundane thoughts or mundane people, or our absorption in mundane desires. And this is the inner struggle, the inner battle. So no one should ever think, I've won the battle, I'm living in Vrindavan. If we somehow move to Vrindavan, then we can understand that we're on the real battlefield. Because in this battlefield, you can get blessed 100 times for all your good activities, and you get punished 100 times more for all your bad activities. So sincere efforts here to please Krishna in the line of devotion are rewarded tremendously. But when there's deviation in our practice or behavior, then the punishment is most severe. When we understand what is pure devotion, Braj Bhakti, and we desire it intensely and work for it, we will ultimately attain it by the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So this is a summary of verse 294, which is one of the three primary verses to meditate on, to understand, to try to follow if one wants to practice Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Krishna Smaran Janan Chasya Preshtam Nijas Samihitam Tat Tat Kata Rata Shasho Kuryad Vasam Praje Sada. We should intensely desire to attain Braj Bhakti. Always hear about Braj Bhakti and always talk about Braj Bhakti. We should always remember Krishna and his devotees who have the bhav, the mood we want to attain, and live mentally and physically in Vrindavan, while always remembering these Ragatmika Bhaktas of Radha and Krishna. So that's text 294. That's all about living and remembering. Living in Vrindavan, remember the particular devotees that by this time we have decided we want to follow. Vasam Braja Sada, Braja Vasada, always live in Vrindavan. It's a serious practice. Raghunuga Sadhana is not a joke. It's not that we just say, I'm practicing Raghunuga Sadhana and sit back and do nothing. Always we're reading and remembering and reading and remembering and praying for the mercy of Rupa and Rati. And if we go anywhere, we only go to their samadhis and their bhajan kutirs and to their deities. Pray to their deities. This is text 295. Of course, this verse has lots of interpretations. Seva sadaka rupena sirupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsana karya braja lokanasarata. This translation is here. In Braj, One who is engaged in spiritual practices under the direct absolute subservience to the Brajvasis, all the while having an eager longing to follow in the footsteps of their feelings and sentiments of one of Krishna's dearest devotees. One should serve both Radha and Krishna in the stage of a sadhaka and also in the stage of siddha. Seva sadhaka rupena. So it's sadhaka rupa and siddha rupa. Seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena. So seva is common to both. Service. We serve in our sadhaka rupa and we serve in our siddha rupa. And bhav, tad bhava lipsana kariya brajalok anusarata. We heard this term, anusaran and anukaran, oftentimes in reference to guru. Anukaran means to imitate the guru, and anusaran means to follow in the footsteps. This is brajalok anusarata. We should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, which we've mentioned, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Brajalok. And tat lipsana, tat bhava lipsana, we want to have the same bhav that they have. Jiva writes that, what is this term, sadhaka rupena? This means the practicing, spiritual practices that we engage in our physical body, hearing, chanting, prikama, study, all these activities of our body and senses. And siddharup, this is mental. So there's physical seva, with our physical senses and physical body, then there's mental seva, with our mental body, with our mind. Siddharupena means one's mentally conceived body within, which is fit for one's desired services to his most beloved Krishna. So all the while we're doing this, we're hankering and desiring to have the bhav of Krishna's eternal servants. That's why it's called gopi bhav. The bhava of the gopis, the love and feelings that the gopis have in terms of their intense surrender, sacrifice, and dedication for the happiness and pleasure of Radha. He says here, Seva sadhaka rupena sirupena chatrihi tadbhava lipsuna karya brajalokanasarta. Following after the inhabitants of Braj, one should perform service in one's physical body and in one's siddha body, with a desire for a particular bhav. So then he mentions here, siddharupena, the siddharupena or siddhadeya, refers to the body which is suitable for one's desired service and which has been developed by internal meditation. Then he has a footnote in his book. The siddharupa or siddhadeya, which is described by Rupa Goswami in this verse, is given by a guru on the path of Rag Bhakti. When he sees the qualification for Raganuga Bhakti and a particular inclination in a particular disciple. Theoretically, this would be a form of an associate of one of the prominent devotees in Braj with a specific ras, Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhura, along with the form, specific dress, and service for Krishna throughout the day would be given. However, forms of mandris, assistance to the sakis of Radha, seem to be the most prominent forms given in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Details of such action are given in books by Gopal Guru, Dhyan Chandra, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Jiva Goswami mentions, sadhaka rupena is the stage of spiritual practices in the physical body, and siddharupena is in one's mentally conceived body, which is fit for one's desired service. A sadhaka means when the body that we're living in, we're alive, we're living in Braj, and this is the stage of early spiritual practices. And as a siddha means one's mentally conceived body, which is fit for serving. This is, siddha means that we've attained some perfection in our bhajan, and we have the qualification to actually directly serve. Sanatana Goswami, he explains that siddhadeya is a mentally conceived eternal spiritual body. One should offer services in his mind to Krishna and Radha under the directions of the gopis and sakis. And in sadaka deha, in one's physical body, one should follow spiritual life and serve Krishna according to the way Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami serve in their physical bodies. Rupa Goswami establishes a very significant method in the spiritual practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. Unless this method and its true nature and concept, as well as interpretation, are correctly understood or rightly followed, one may be easily misled on the wrong path, and sheer mental imagination in an unripe stage of spiritual advancement in life. Sadhana Bhakti in the stage of spiritual practices one performs sadhana bhakti as a sadhaka until he comes to the level of bhava. This is what the comment, this is the author is saying here. As long as one is under the clutches of maya and still identifies himself with the physical body and the changeable mind, then he must actually follow the ways of vaidhi sadhana. So in other words, nishta. Basically, when we come to nishta, then we can actually begin to practice Raghunuga Bhakti. When longing for Braj Bhav is strongly and genuinely achieved, then we... This is like a review he's just saying here. So the main point, what is presented here, is that when that one in practicing Raghunuga Sadhana in the sadhaka body, he engages in smaranam, and in reading the books and studying and praying and thinking about the Lord and his eternal associates like Rupa Mandri and Rati Mandri. That's internally he's reading what their sevas are as mandris, and he's praying to have similar attainments at the time of perfection or siddha. And he's continually reading these. At the same time he's becoming advanced. He's going through the stage of nishta, ruchi, asakti as a sadhaka. And then, at the level of asakti, one becomes so attached and so interested and desires that he wants to actually enter the lila. He's become familiar with the lila and so much surcharged with the feelings and bhavas and aspirations to be amongst all the eternal associates like Rupa Mandri and Rati Mandri. And at that time, this is the general progression which is advocated by Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Sanatha. At the threshold of bhava, then the guru, as we read, the guru will see the actual genuine attainment and absorption of the disciple in such practices in his sadhaka group, and he will award him the siddha deha. This is one outlook, the outlook which we propagate in ISKCON. And there are other schools of thought on other Gaudiya Vaishnavas that they say that you can't practice any, which is not told here, but they kind of make it all just one. It's all just siddha practice. They say that you cannot practice any form of Raghunuga Bhakti without a siddha deha. They say like this. So therefore, from the very beginning, even if you're at the level of Narta Nivritti or whatever level, you have some eagerness, some greed for these things. They say this is your siddha deha. And now you start meditating like this. And they don't even so much consider the aspect of the sadhaka deha. But Rupa Goswami, and there's so many interpretations on this verse, that is one also, that without siddha deha you can't practice Raghunuga Bhakti at all. But it doesn't really indicate that, most people say. That there's two levels. There's level one of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, and then there's level two, and then which is level one is sadhaka deha. That's why it says like this. The verse is divided in half. But some schools of thought they say it's just one. Seva sadhaka rupena sadhrupena chatrahi. So what we do, we have the sadhaka rup that we see. Sankhya Purava Kanama Gananatibi. We follow the six Goswamis, the prayers of the six Goswamis. We chant a fixed number of rounds every day. We visit the Leela Stalis. We live in Vrindavan. We chant so many astakams, specific astakams of Rupa Goswami and the said Goswamis, Raghunath Das. I offer so much obeisances to the Leela Stalis and dandavats to the Lila Stalis and the Vaishnavas and read about their lives and teachings and absorb ourselves. And all the different practices, we may do archanam and prikama vradakund and govardhan, visit Lila Stalis. This is all being done in our physical sadhaka deha, the body of a practitioner. Level 1A, before one receives a siddhadeya at the level of a sakti or bhava, which is what is advocated by our teachers, level 1A is that as one is cultivating his attachment and following in the footsteps as a sadhaka of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and familiarizing himself with their writings and their bhavas, he starts to desire more and more intensely to have their feelings, and he wants to have a body like a gopi's body if he's interested and attracted to this Mandri Bhava. He has some ruchi for this. Because someone might say, well, what stai rati, or what eternal associates are you attracted to? Well, attraction means ruchi, it means some taste. And there can't be any taste without purification. And purification means anartha nivritti anishta. Then we come to ruchi. So at nishta, we're going in that direction, but the ruchi hasn't awakened. So then we start practicing raganuga sadhana, emphasizing the sadhaka rupena aspect of seva. And then we start mixing some smaran. We start remembering, and we remembrance with prayer. We read about their sevas, we read about the leelas, and we start to remember them occasionally. It's a very preliminary category or level of smaran, occasional remembrance. And that remembrance is coupled with prayers, prarthana. Prayers of humility, prayers of submission, prayers of surrender, and prayers of aspiration that, yes, someday, please bless me that I can also have these genuine feelings in a complete way, and that I will also attain such services and such intense attachment and desire to perform the same services that you have with the same sentiments and bhavas that you have. And that's level 1A as a sadhaka. And that will go on in a very deep way, and it will become more and more absorbed in that way. And then that intensity absorption of smaran, along with hearing and chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and Guru Seva and Vaishnava Seva, Hari Seva, he'll rise to the second level, which will be the acceptance, or apanadas, the actual acceptance of the siddhadeya, where there's nothing else in his mind. He's become so much taste and so much asakti that he's nadanana janana sundaram, and he's ai nanda tanushakinkaram. This is asakti. Then the guru will see that, and he will award him. He'll say, yes, your siddhadeya is like this, and give the 11 symptoms of the siddhadeya. And so someone may argue, well, I don't see anyone in ISKCON doing that. So now how do we respond to this? So two things. One thing I mentioned is that there are different references in different books about this, that the siddhadeya can be given directly by Diksha Guru. Siddhadeya can be given by Shiksha Guru. Siddhadeya can be given by an ascended master. And siddhadeya can be given by Nitya Parishad. And siddhadeya can be given by the Siddha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Mantra. It's interesting that in this discussion by Rupa Goswami, he doesn't mention Siddha Pranali Dikshit. In fact, in all the writings of the six Goswamis, if you read all the books of the six Goswamis, you will not find this term Siddha Pranali. Very interesting. Such a popular term, but you won't find that in Sanskrit in any of the books of the six Goswamis. The idea was first written about by Gopal Guru Goswami's disciple, Dhyan Chandra, who lived roughly just after the time of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal Guru was contemporary. He had some pastimes with Lord Chaitanya. So he wrote something about it. And it wasn't much popular initially, but then it became more popular. So as I mentioned, these are different ways. Now, if someone is an ISKCON, and he follows this verse of Seva Sadhaka Rupena, and he actually comes to the level of Asakti and Bhava, And then, although at the present we may not see anyone that's giving the Siddha Pranali in ISKCON, but Krishna will make some arrangement for some Shiksha Guru to be there, or some maybe Guru in ISKCON. We can't say. That's Krishna's will. In other words, when you must have heard the term, when the Guru is always there, and when the disciple is ready, he finds his Guru. It's not that someone's looking for a Guru and there's no Guru. Gurus are already there. So many Gurus are there of different adhikars. There's Uttamadhikari Guru, there's Madhyamadhikari, and there's different levels, Madhyam, 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 Uttam, Uttam, Madhyam, Uttam, Kanishtha, Uttam, Uttam. And there's five, seven different kinds of Mahabhagavats mentioned in the Sandarvas by Jiva Goswami. And you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's so many hierarchies of devotees, so many levels of pure devotees and different types of devotees. Same thing with gurus. When one is properly qualified, then he will receive his proper connection and proper initiation. On Bhakti Sananta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, they emphasized what they consider to be the traditional method given by Rupa Goswami, that the Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chaturhi, that they will, one develops his attachment by practicing under a guru, and then gradually he starts mentally and getting engaged, his mind, he starts thinking like this and desiring like that to have a suitable body to serve the eternal associates in Vrindavan, and then the guru will make arrangement to give that initiation, or he'll be guided to some proper person to do that function. It's all adjusted by the Supreme Lord. There's some commentaries in Krishna Karanamrita and other places about the other ways of receiving Siddhadeya, which I mentioned, other than just directly receiving from Guru. It's not the only way. So we'll continue there tomorrow.